Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Peter Thiel, hopefully I pronounced his name right. Peter Thiel, T-H-I-E-L. This guy's in the news all of a sudden because this guy took $2,000 and he turned it into $5 billion. And he did it over the last 22 years. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think real estate had anything to do with what this guy did. Yeah, this guy is all of a sudden, he's a media darling. He's a guy that in 1999, put $2,000 into an IRA and then let it grow from there. And today's value is about $5 billion in that IRA. And you're sitting back going, oh, really? Really? See, I told you. I told you all that investing was good. I told you that the stock market was the darling. I told you that that was the better way to go. And I'm here telling you, cool your jets, dude. Cool your jets. Take a step back. Get the paper bag. Breathe into it deeply. And then inhale back. Because what we need to do is we need to get that hyperventilation under control. Now, This Peter Thiel guy, first of all, whenever somebody has success, I'm happy with it. I really am. I mean, I don't fault this guy. I don't have anything bad to say about this guy. I'm just, to be honest with you, I think it's amazing that he took $2,000 and he turned it into $5 billion in 22 years. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I will tell you this. I will tell you this, there are some strings attached to his investments. That is correct. That's correct. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to tell you the details that you probably didn't read about or they probably didn't tell you about when you saw this news piece flash across your TV set or however you found out about this Peter Thiel guy. So the first thing we need to point out is this. He made this investment in an IRA. That's right. And there are limits to the amount of money you and I can put into an IRA. Yeah, I actually could have an IRA if I wanted one, but I don't want one. And the reason I don't want one is because I've proven to myself time and time again that my money is working better for me in an asset like real estate than it is in the stock market where I don't have as much control. The other thing is this. When you put your money into that IRA, you are giving up control of that money. You heard me absolutely correctly. You're giving up control of that money. So what do I mean? Well, let's get to the nitty-gritty here. Let's just call it what it is. Mr. Thiel is 53 years of age. Yes, he is 53 years of age. So when, you know, if you do the math, at the age of 31, he put $2,000 into that IRA. Yeah. And at the age of 53, here's his conundrum. By the investing strategy that he followed, which I'll get into in a minute, by investing the way he did, he was able to grow that account significantly. So significantly that, you know, he's all over the news right now because who does that? Who takes $2,000 and turns it into $5 billion, right? I mean, that's like an anomaly. That didn't happen to you and it didn't happen to me, but it happened to him. But he did this within an IRA, which means there are rules. Within the IRA, he's allowed to grow his investments and stuff like that, right? But here's the thing. He has to wait until the age of 59 and a half. That's right. he has to wait 6.5 years to withdraw any of his Roth account balance tax-free or penalty-free. Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, think about it. That's the effect of being very successful investing in an IRA. Now, let's see. So he put his money into something called a Roth IRA. So you're probably aware there are two different kinds of IRAs. One's a traditional IRA, which is funded with pre-tax dollars, and then one is the Roth IRA, which is funded with post-tax dollars, yada, yada, yada. So apparently he put it in a Roth IRA. I don't believe all the stuff that I'm reading on the what I'm reading, and to be honest with you, I'm not going to cite the source today, not because I don't want to, but because I think I have found something factually incorrect about the description of how IRAs are taxed, and I think this article actually got it backwards, so it gives the illusion that he invested one way when in fact he invested actually a different way. Now, is it semantics? Does it really matter? Well, it kind of does matter, because, you know, whether you're tax pre-investment or post-investment, that has a big impact on your money. But here's the other thing that you don't necessarily know, that you actually have to dig down into all of these articles to find. It's the how. How did he do this? How is it that he was able to turn $2,000 into $5 billion 22 years later? And I'll tell you the answer. You ready? He's gambling. Yeah, he was gambling, because this is what he did. He bought 1.7 million shares of PayPal back in 1999. Okay, remember way back prior to Y2K? Some of you guys remember that Y2K stuff? All right, remember 1999? I mean, all these dot-coms were coming up. I mean, all these application software and internet-driven software platforms, all these things were being developed, and PayPal was one of those things, right? And if y'all recall, PayPal is the one that made it out to the end, because it's still around today, right? But how many other of those competing products never made it out of the gate? Okay, Thiel got lucky, because he dropped $1,700 into PayPal at a less than a penny per share, actually a tenth of a penny per share. I'll tell you what, folks, he was gambling, that speculation, and he got lucky. We come back from the break, I got more on this.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Walmsley, on the effective way to run a business.
There are people that run their businesses on a shoestring. If you own an apartment complex and you have no cash, that's not a very effective way to run a business. My businesses, each and every one of them, have cash savings. In other words, we can make no money or make very little money. We'd still survive. For those of you that haven't thought it through that far and you don't have any cash savings, let's get you in here and get you educated on how to save what you already own. The mom and pop businesses are going to take a major hit. If you've been running your business that way, you need to get into Lifestyles right now and learn how to operate your business the right way.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So I'm actually pretty impressed that Peter Thiel had the foresight, whatever he had back in 1999, to take $1,700 of income that he had earned after he paid the taxes on it. So, I mean, you know, he probably made, I don't know, $2,000, and he paid the taxes on it. $1,700 was left. It went into the Roth IRA. I don't know how those things work, and I really don't care. The last time I had a Roth IRA was like back in the 90s, before this guy was even doing this. And what Peter did is Peter put like $2,000 into his IRA. And with that $2,000, he bought 1.7 million shares of PayPal at a strike price of 1/10 of a penny. That's how he did it. So basically, back in 1999, Peter either had a hunch, or Peter knew something that we didn't know, or Peter just got lucky. But he said, hey, man, this PayPal thing, this seems like it might have some traction. This might be the way of the future. So he invested in that particular asset. You go and you fast forward to today. If you fast forward to today and you look at the stock price for PayPal Holdings Incorporated, which is, you know, the stock that he invested in, well, it's trading right now. The current price as of the time my voice is being recorded is $288.60. It's actually down $4.61 from its previous day's pricing. So, I mean, if you do the math and you take 1.7 million shares and you multiply it by, you know, let's say about $292, because that's what yesterday's share price was. And that's when this article on Peter started to circulate, was yesterday. Now you understand how he has an IRA that is worth $5 billion. Yeah, because he owns a big percentage of stocks in that company. Because he bought in at one time, and whatever reason, whatever rhyme, it doesn't matter, he did well. The vast majority of us are not that lucky. We're not that lucky. Oh, hell no, we are not that lucky. We are not. Are you willing to risk $1,700 of your own money right now on a speculative investment that may or may not pay off in the next 22 years? If you're like most people, the answer is probably no. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm thinking Peter was, what, 31 years old when he did this? So, you know, I know there are those of you listening to me that are in your 30s. I get that. There are also those of you that are, you know, older like me that can reflect back to our 30s. And maybe in our 30s, we were willing to take a little more risk. 22 years ago, back in 1999, $1,700 was a significant amount of money. I think that's about what I was paying for my mortgage at that time. I'm just guessing. I don't remember. You know, that was a significant amount of money. And for me back in those days to take $1,700 and invest it into a stock that could have just imploded, I wasn't willing to do that. That was way too risky for me. Now, maybe back in the day, Peter, you know, it's like, it was like fun money. It's like, well, I could take the $1,700, I'd go to Vegas, have a really good time. And if I come home with nothing, at least I had a really good time. And maybe he had that attitude going into PayPal, or maybe he knew something you and I don't know. It really doesn't matter today. He has a problem. He has an absolute problem. Because even though he's got $5 billion in net worth based on his Roth IRA, all of his money is sitting in stock ownership. See, that money's not in his hands. It's not in his hands. He can't say, well, you know what? I'm just going to go spend some of that. He has to go through the process of selling shares of whatever within his Roth IRA to take that money out. And the government puts restrictions on you. They don't want you messing with that money until the age of 59 and a half. Peter is 53. He's got six more years to go. Now, you could look at the stock market today and you could go, well, you know what? Stock market's doing pretty good. It's still, you know, right up there near those all-time highs. NASDAQ actually hit an all-time high today. So sky's the limit, right? Until the sky isn't the limit. Until the stock market does what the stock market does and it corrects. All I have to do is take you back to March of 2020. If you look at a stock chart of March 2020, what you see is the stock market being very healthy, going up during the Trump administration. It was doing great stuff, right? Then all of a sudden, coronavirus showed up out of nowhere. No one knew it was coming. Okay, a couple people knew it was coming, but most of us, I mean, we turned on the news and we're hearing, hey, the CDC says you got to wear a mask and you need to, you know, social distance and you need to stay 6 feet apart. And by the way, you can't go to work. And I mean, yeah, it had an impact, right? It had a 15-month impact. There are parts of this country that are still trying to dig out of that impact. And the stock market, in a matter of like 4 weeks, plummeted actually less than 4 weeks. I mean, it just, it went from, you know, like the Dow went from like 28,000 down to like almost 18,000. That's a significant drop. Now, it came back. It absolutely came back. And I would say somewhere, I don't know, maybe around the end of 2020, it was finally getting back to the levels that it had been. So if you were dollar cost averaging, you're like, sweet, this is great. I'm getting stocks on sale, right? Okay. What happens to Peter? What happens to Peter if the stock price for PayPal starts to tank? What if, now I'm just making stuff up now. This is all me making stuff up. I am not accusing PayPal of doing anything wrong. I think they're a very good company. I really do. And I would say nothing bad against them. But what if on the news tomorrow, we hear that PayPal was attacked by some cyber entity and they got into all the PayPal accounts and they got everybody's personal information, which would be everybody who has a PayPal account, right? Okay, how would that impact PayPal? Well, that would be like a death blow to PayPal, because all of a sudden what happens is a company that is well respected and it's got a stock price like a 290 or whatever it is right now. Okay, this is a well-established company in today's day and age. But we have seen things impact companies that come out of left field. We have no idea that they're coming until they've already impacted. And when those things happen to companies, man, the stock price immediately goes down. So the problem Peter has right now is he's got all his eggs in the PayPal basket. He needs to make sure that PayPal stays healthy and continues to grow. I'll tell you what, that's a challenge. We come back from the break, I'm going to give you more insight.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center, Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Dell Wamsley. Dell is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So I'm really proud of what Peter's been able to accomplish. I really am. I mean, I'm excited for the guy. I mean, he took $2,000, stuck it into an IRA. In 1999, he bought PayPal stock when you could buy PayPal stock when it was on sale for a tenth of a penny. And all of you that trade stocks, all of you that have money invested in the stock market, understand that when I tell you that he bought shares at one tenth of a penny, you also understand that that kind of investment is highly speculative, highly volatile, and the risk of achieving the result that Peter achieved, it's difficult to get there. It's difficult to get there because all kinds of things can happen. And along the way, you have to, in Peter's case, Peter had to look at his account and then realize, I mean, if you watch PayPal stock go up over time, imagine what Peter's doing every year. He's looking at PayPal stock going up, and he knows, he's making money. Okay, let's be real clear here. He's making money if he sells the stock. Now, if he sells the stock at whatever price he sells it at, no matter how many shares he sells, he's doing this within an IRA. So there are certain rules and conditions that you have to meet if you're investing within an IRA. Okay, now I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think investing from an IRA is a good way to do business. That's just my personal feeling. And I certainly don't do it with real estate. I don't. Well, first of all, I don't even have an IRA. Okay, but if I went out and got an IRA, it wouldn't be for the purpose of investing in real estate. Because here's the thing, man. I'll just be real clear with you. When you're investing in real estate, there are a lot of things going on that are in your favor. There are tax advantages. There's just all kinds of things that, you know, with the cash flow and the equity growth, there's a lot of positive things that happen that you can take advantage of outside of an IRA environment. But when you're investing within that IRA environment, you have to subscribe and deal with the rules that were put into place. Because remember, the IRA is something that was created out of the imagination of lawmakers. That's right. All that stuff is in United States Code. Yeah, the ability to do IRAs, and because it all has to do with taxing. Let's be very clear here. Everything the government does is focused on either generating tax revenue or spending tax revenue. That's what the government does. Now, they're supposed to do some other things too, but you know, they're really good at spending our money and they're really good at taking our money. And they're not really good at explaining why they have to take all of our money to get, okay, I'm going off on a tangent. Let's go back to Peter here. So Peter's got a problem. He's got $5 billion worth of value sitting in an IRA account. And all he gets to do is look at it. Yeah. Unless he wants to start paying taxes and penalties and whatever has to happen. Okay, so at the beginning of the show, I was, to be honest with you, I wasn't very clear. I didn't give you the citation for the article where I got this information from. And I did it specifically because when I read it, I thought that they had gotten the IRAs backwards. I thought that the description that they made of the Roth IRAs and the description that they made of the traditional IRAs, I thought that they had gotten them backwards, and I wasn't comfortable sharing that information with you because I don't want to give you information that isn't true or factual. That's just the way I am. I'm a straight shooter. Here's the thing. I'm going to bring in a third party. Okay, no, I don't have anybody calling in to the show or anything. I went to H&R Block's website because last time I had an IRA, that was back in the 90s, man. I haven't had one in a long time and for very specific reasons. So I wanted to know how the IRS would treat Peter if he were looking to do something with that $5 billion. Because you got to think about it, man. You're 53 years old. You're 53 years old. And the rules of the Roth IRA say you must wait until 59 and a half. Really? Really? Peter, are you willing to wait 6.5 years? Now, I mean, we are talking $5 billion. You know, if you did liquidate all of that, okay, and even if you paid the taxes and penalties, whatever the IRS wants to do to you, you still got a big chunk of money, Peter. So it's very tempting, right? Oh, wait a minute. I forgot, Peter. You own 1.7 million shares. So chances are, you're not going to just be able to call up your broker and go liquidate, because as soon as you do that and you try and dump 1.7 million shares into the marketplace, it's probably going to drive the price down, which is going to affect your bottom line, Peter. So you got to have some kind of exit strategy. So let me get back to the IRS here. I actually went to the IRS website and it was just so, it was so IRS-y. I couldn't deal with it. So I went to H&R Block. Okay. So this is what they say with regards to how Roth IRA contributions are taxed. Because the funds in the Roth IRA have come from contributions that you have made and not from tax-subsidized earnings, you can tap your contributions, but not your earnings, tax-free and penalty-free at any point you wish to do so. That's what it says. So if I'm reading this correct, Peter, you can take your $2,000 or your $1,700 out, whatever. You can take your $2,000 out, man. You're good to go. No tax, no penalty. But, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Because the funds in your Roth IRA have come from your contributions and not from tax-subsidized earnings, you can tap your contributions but not your earnings tax-free and penalty-free at any point you wish to do so. Okay. What are the taxes on $5 billion? I'll just give you an idea. It's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, think about it. I mean, the 10% penalty on $5 billion is what, $500 million? So all of a sudden, Uncle Sam, because that's where the money goes. Yeah, no. Let's be very clear here. When you decide to do something against what the government wants you to do, what the government demands that you do, okay, when you upset the apple cart, which Peter has the ability to do that right now, they're going to tax you. They're going to penalize you. That money does not stay in your accounts anymore. It goes to the federal government, and the federal government decides what to do with that money because it all goes into the general fund, right? Yeah, that's where it all goes, man. It's kind of like the government's way of saying, all right, shame on you. You didn't do what we told you to do. Shame on you, shame on you. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to get hit with taxes. You're going to get hit with a penalty if you don't leave that money there for the next 6.5 years, Peter. So the question I have for you is this. What would you do? What would you do if you were in Peter's situation right now? Would you let the money ride, knowing that if you wait 6.5 years, that's a cost savings of at least $500 million, right? But what about the opportunity costs? Oh boy, here we go. Stick around.
Del Walmsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense with a lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so let's talk about how investments are taxed. Yeah, let's just go there, because all investments are taxed by the federal government. They are. Also, many states levy tax too. Yeah, you need to understand all that stuff. You need to understand the implications of what you do. So let's get to the nitty-gritty. Before we went to the break, I said, okay, if you had $5 billion, I mean, you were in Peter's shoes, what would you do? What would you do? You're sitting on a $5 billion potential pile of money. This is a very big pile of money. What do you do? Well, I think the first course of action is do nothing, right? Do nothing. Just let it ride, right? I mean, after all, this guy got into this deal 22 years ago. I mean, he spent $1,700 to buy 1.7 million shares of stock. Maybe he had a belief in. Maybe he had some insider knowledge that the rest of us don't know. I don't know, and I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying that $1,700 was kind of a significant amount of money back in 1999. But if anybody that was making any money at all in 1999 lost $1,700 in a stock trade, it probably wasn't going to destroy their life. Okay, so let's just put into the picture that particular lens. Okay, here's the other thing. I'm looking at the stock price for PayPal. I went to the NASDAQ and I just pulled up the historical records for PayPal, and they pretty much track it for about the last 5 years. That's as far back as I can go. So here's what I've seen through the years based on what I'm able to see from a stock chart provided me by NASDAQ. So back in like 2015, PayPal trading like, I don't know, around, I'm going with a guesstimate here. I'm going to call it $38 a share. Okay, so $38 a share versus 1/10 of a penny per share is a pretty significant return. It's a very significant return. Peter held the stock. We get to 2017, and the price is moving up a little bit, maybe a couple dollars more. Okay, not a massive gain, but it's still going up, right? Then we get to 2018, and we see the stock price for PayPal jump like to $84 a share. Okay, so now it's like literally doubled in the last 2 years, right? This is getting good. So what does Peter do? Well, he holds. Now, we don't know if he's holding because he's in an IRA and he's able to do certain things within the IRA. We don't know. We just don't know. We get to 2019. Yeah, the price had gone up a little bit higher, but it's still staying kind of where it was in 2018. Then we get to 2020, and the price, now it's going up again. Now we're looking at like $110 a share. We get to March of 2020, and the price takes a hit along with the rest of the real estate market. There is a clear declination in the stock pricing in the March timeframe from 2020. This stock, like many others, was impacted by the COVID-19 restrictions that went into effect in this country. But here's the neat thing. One of the side effects of going into lockdown was that people were making purchases a lot more online than they were in person. Where does PayPal thrive? In the online environment, right? Haven't they integrated their payment systems into other merchants, right? Yeah, I mean, they've done a good job of building their business model. And I am not here to pick on PayPal. I think they're a great company. I really do. I just am not invested with them. So from the time the price of that stock bottomed after the March debacle, the price of PayPal just started going up because the value of their service obviously it's there when everybody has to stay at home and they're buying stuff online. And you've got entities like PayPal that provide services that make your ability to transactions easy, right? Right? That's why you go to PayPal, right? Okay, so the price manages, it just jets. So what we were looking at, I think the price peaked at 293.21 yesterday. When I looked at it earlier, it was down to like, I don't know, 288. So now we know how Peter made his money. And I will tell you, if you look at the stock price, it is a dramatic increase over the last year. This stock price went from, I don't know, just give you an estimate of $90 up to, you know, $293. But here's another question I've got for you. How long can that stock hold that price? How long until the company is seen as overvalued? I don't know because I don't play in these waters. But here's the thing that Peter needs to take into consideration. If the price of that stock continues to go up, and maybe he's in it for the long haul, maybe he's betting long on this, right? Maybe he'll double the money in the next 6.5 years. Or what if this is an anomaly? What if the stock price has peaked? It's not going to be able to maintain that price level. And that price is going to go back down to where it is more competitively traded in the marketplace. Because that happens to stocks. If you look at, I'll tell you what, go to the Dow Industrial Index. I mean, these are some of the bench weather stocks that have been around for many, many years. Look at those stock prices. Look at the historical trends. Those stocks have had periods where maybe in the past the value of the stock was higher. Now, sometimes the stock adjusts because maybe they do stock splits and stuff like that. So, okay, that stuff does happen. But what also does happen is that pricing on stocks will go up based on news, based on information, based on the promise of some new product or service. And then if that new product or service does not materialize as it should, maybe that stock adjusts down because the revenue streams that that organization is creating is not indicative of the stock price. I mean, it's, okay, yeah, I know too much into stocks. I know we're supposed to be talking about real estate, right? So here's the thing. If Peter decided to sell today, let's say he could just magically drop 1.7 million shares on the market. Poof, they sell like that. There's no change in the stock price. He gets maximum pricing. And now he's sitting at a net gain of $5 billion with a basis of $2,000. Yeah, because that original investment, that you can't tax that. You can't tax it. But all that stuff above that, man, that's taxable. That is taxable, according to what H&R Block just told me. So I'll tell you what, if he took the money out now and he paid the penalty, the 10% penalty, he would be looking at $500 million right off the top, just in penalties that goes to Uncle Sam. And then, well, I'm guessing he's going to be in the top tax bracket. I'm not 100% sure how all these taxes work and everything like that. And I don't play a CPA on the radio. I know enough to be dangerous. And if you're taking my advice for advice you should be receiving from a CPA, you need to stop listening to me and go find yourself a qualified CPA. Oh, and by the way, if you need one, just become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. We've got some great ones on our vendor team. Are you ready for the price for the tax on this sale? Okay, hopefully you're sitting down. Okay, let's say the tax is 39%. Let's say he lives in Texas, so there is no Texas tax, right? $1,950,000 in tax liability. So when the dust all settles, he's going to have $5 billion. But he's going to wind up writing checks to the federal government for $2,450,000, which basically means that when the dust all settles, he is given most, well, he is given almost half of his gain to his silent partner called the IRS. Yeah, that's the way it works. But here's the other thing. If he did that and absorbed the tax liability, I think he could turn that $2.5 billion into $5 billion through real estate. And there are ways to do that. We have members of Lifestyles Unlimited that have net worth of well over $1 billion. And they all started the same place you did. So my point is this. My advice to Peter would be this. Dude, don't get greedy. Pull the trigger. Exit out of that risk. You've made a great gain. Don't watch that gain erode because of something you don't have control over. Take whatever money that is will ultimately be yours and put it to work in real estate assets. Because I will tell you this. You'll sleep better at night, and you won't have to worry about instability.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.